The question that we hear Jesus being asked this morning is a little bit familiar to some of us here at Bethany. Tell us plainly. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. When are we going to worship again in the sanctuary? It's just a little bit of a twist, the question Jesus is asked. Tell us plainly. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Are you the one we've longed for? Of course, our answer has simply been, as soon as we can. Jesus' answer is, I've already told you who I am. And if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 10. Well, we started with the 22nd verse in this morning's gospel reading. If you just go back to verse 17, you'll begin to see that Jesus has already, even in the context of this account, declared who he is. And he says, the Father loves me because I lay down my life. I'm going to stop right there for one second. Think about that statement. Jesus, in talking about the relationship between the Father and the Son, the eternal first and second persons of the Trinity, the one who sends and the one who is sent, declares, he loves me because I lay down my life. And he continues, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Yes, the devil entered Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Yes, the temple guard entered Gethsemane's garden and arrested him. Yes, the high priests and the teachers of the law condemned him as worthy of death. Yes, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. And yes, a Roman crucifixion squad nailed him to the cross. But no one took his life from him. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. The Father loves me because I lay down my life only to take it up again. He has taken it up again. And I knew that wouldn't work. It didn't work at first service. I didn't think it would probably work at this service either. You know, if I say, he is risen, you're going to scream that, right? I just know that going in. But, you know, no one says he's taken it up again indeed. But he has. The Lord has indeed taken up his life that he laid down again. And here's the fascinating thing, at least to me. The reason the Father loves the Son is the same reason you love the Son, is it not? That he lays down his life for you. He laid down his life for you. No one took it from him. No one forced it upon him. He, of his own volition, he, under his own authority, laid down his life for you, only to take it up again, which magnifies the reason we love him. He's laid down his life, and he's taken it up. He has defeated our death and will take us up. What love. Today, of course, is a day where collectively, we think about love in terms of perhaps its most idyllic earthly picture, a mother's love. And whether a mother is with you today or she is with the Lord, whether your parent, whether your mother-child relationship is one of the most formative and fantastic of your life, or whether it's one that's kind of been frazzled and fractured over time, or maybe even still now, collectively we think about this picture of love. Jesus paints the picture of love for us today, eternal love, that of Creator toward creation. This is love, that he laid down his life for us. And with this love, there is a by, a with, and a for you to carry with you today. You have been loved by. You have been loved by the Messiah, the promised one, the eternal Son of the eternal God. He was begotten before from the Father, before time began, and he who in time became the child and son of Mary and entered this world. You are loved by the one who was sent and by the one who did the sending. You are loved by. What love. And you are loved with. You're loved with a unilateral God, a unilateral love. God acts. God steps forward. You're loved with a love that is undeserved, unearned, and of which you are unworthy. For there is nothing in us that should move him to love us, yet love us he does. If you're familiar with those words of Isaiah, when he's talking about the suffering servant to come, the Messiah, talking about Jesus before Jesus has been born on earth, he says, there is nothing in him that should attract us to him, no beauty or majesty that should draw us to him. Turn that 180 degrees and think about it as heaven looking down upon us. There is nothing in rebels like us that should move God to love us. No beauty or majesty in us that should draw us to him. And yet love he does. He loves fully and freely, fiercely and fearlessly each and every one of us. And thus it is true. You've heard me say it before. You'll hear me say it again at some point. I'm going to say it again right now. There is nothing you could possibly do that could make God love you any more than he already does. And there is nothing that you have ever done that could cause him to love you any less than he does. He loves you perfectly, fully, and powerfully. Not only does he lay down his life for you, he has authority to lay it down and take it up again. He goes on to say, and no one can take you away from me. No one can take them from my hand. What love. You've been loved by, you've been loved with, and you've been loved for. You've been loved for a purpose. We are loved for a purpose. The result of our being loved by him is that we would love him in return, and we would love his. We would love God, and we would love others. You know, on one occasion, Jesus was talking to someone who asked what he had to do to be saved, and Jesus then started talking about the Ten Commandments, and he ends up in this conversation reducing the Ten Commandments to two with only one verb. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we cannot escape that when Jesus starts speaking commandments, the first thing they do is kind of leave us a little bit unraveled. They expose our sin. They reveal our guilt. So I am certain I'm not alone, that if you had the mic, you could say the exact same thing. There are times where your love, when it comes to your love, like me, you'd probably need to confess that so often my love is self-absorbed and shallow. And often I find that even God, let alone you, need to get in line behind me when it comes to loving. And yet, God loves anyways. Though my love waxes and wanes, ebbs and flows, his is always constant. It remains the same. It is perfect. It has been proven in Christ who gave his life for me, for you, and in Christ who took it up again. And it is present here in his house. It is present here in the company of his people. It is present here in his word. It is present with you always, for your Lord is with you always. Though our love is not the love it ought to be, his love is there perfectly, purely, permanently. And his love forgives the guilt that the commandments expose. His love covers the sinner in his own righteousness. And his love moves us to love him and to love others. Those commandments that expose our guilt and our sin, they drive us to our Savior. And then they guide us in godly, loving behavior. And today we're called to love. To love God and to love others. We love God, not first and foremost because he gave us life, though he did. We are his offspring. He is the potter. We are the clay. We love God, not first and foremost because of the blessings that have come into our lives, though every good and perfect gift is from him, and all the great things in our lives, gifts of his hand. We love God first and foremost because he gave his life for us in his Son. He has laid down his life for us out of love. And in turn, we love him. And we who love him are called to love his. And this is where it maybe gets a little bit difficult because let's be honest, sometimes people are kind of unlovable, right? They might be the people that you live with, labor with, learn with, laud with, laugh with. That is the people you at your home and at your work, at your school, here in your church and out where you goof off and hang out. The people you know intimately, sometimes they're still kind of unlovable, aren't they? And what about the people you kind of just know, you know, coincidentally or don't really even know barely? The people you're just trying to share a community, a culture, a country with. The people you're trying to share the freeway with. The parking lot at Costco. The line for the ride at Disneyland. Sometimes those people are pretty darn unlovable. Let's admit it. How do we love others? Jesus tells us, right with those first words he used at the outset of this morning's reading, everyone is someone for whom he laid down his life. Everyone is someone for whom he laid down his life. I want you to say that, repeat this after me. Everyone is someone for whom he laid down his life. Before you turn around to that guy in the line at Disneyland, before you roll down your window to that person in the parking lot at Costco, before you hit the gas or the brake on the 405, just remember, everyone is someone for whom he laid down his life. Doesn't mean at times we won't have a disagreement on behavior, yet we will love. Doesn't mean at times we won't have a different concept or a different held belief. Yeah, we will love anyways. Sometimes we might have a totally different perspective on truth and reality. Yet, love anyway. For you have been loved by one who laid down his life for you to take it up again. And that life is taken up and presented in the world over and over, day in and day out, by our love. This is why we love, for we have been loved. What love indeed. Will you pray with me? Lord, I confess that so often I would scatter rather than gather, because too often my love is myopic. Grant me your vision. Grant me your heart. And in others, let me first and foremost see one for whom you laid down your life. And then fix my eyes on you, Almighty God, to always behold one who laid down his life for me. Amen.